This morning, I'll be preaching on who is this? Who is this? Follow along as you're here in Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of a foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put them on them their clothes, and they sent them thereon, set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And a multitude that went before and that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Of Galilee. Let's pray. Father, I surely thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. And Lord, I thank you for each and every person who has come. And Lord, I know that I can accomplish nothing without your help. And Lord, that's what I'm asking for. Lord, I pray that you would help me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and help me to be able to preach this message today that would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, I thank you for the time of fellowship we have already had, a wonderful Sunday school class that we have had to talk about your word and to grow in. But Lord, I know one thing, the preaching of your word, Lord, it's so powerful. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, you know the need of every person that's here today. And Lord, I pray that you meet that need. And Lord, I pray that people would see today that you are speaking to their heart. And they would make a decision, whatever that decision would be for you. Keep our heads around us. Keep us safe. In Jesus, your precious name, we pray. Amen. Now, if you think about this Sunday, this is Palm Sunday. And the portion of scripture I read would have been related to that, right? And what we could see is Jesus was going. There's a fulfillment of a prophecy. He told his disciples to go out there. And as his disciples went out to get that colt that he sat on, and also an ass, which we would see is a donkey. So to get that, and they brought those animals to him, and they put some clothing on there, and he got onto that colt that was there, and he started to make his way into Jerusalem. You think about it, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. You know the most amazing thing when you think about this Bible was written a very long period of time ago. It was finished by the book of Revelation, which was around 90-some A.D. So you think about almost 2,000 years ago. It was a period of time of about 1,600 years that God gave it to men, holy men of God, as they wrote it down. They copied down exactly what God told them to say. And the most amazing thing when you go through the Bible, you think about it, always points to Jesus. Amen. You go through, you'll see this book points to Jesus Christ. But you see the fulfillment of Scripture. God prophesied these things, that things would happen. And one of the things here was the fulfillment of that prophecy. God prophesied there'll be a day when Jesus would do this. And what do we see? It happened. And as this was happening, the people cried out, and now you can see where I got the title of my message down to verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? So as Jesus was going on his way, there were those that took their garments and maybe had a coat or whatever, and they took their garments and put it down the way to make the road of maybe a little bit softer, the path for Jesus as he's traveling there. And others, they took those branches, there was palm trees, and cut it down. How did they cut it down? I don't know. They could have ripped it down. Some of them may have had a pocket knife, whatever they had in those days, and sword. Maybe someone had a sword or whatever. But they took those palm branches and put it in the way, and they strawed it in a way when Jesus was coming into that way. The reality is this, they should have realized who he was. And can I tell you, there were some there that day realized who it was that was sitting on that colt. They know that he was the Son of God. They knew that he was God himself, the Messiah that was making his way to Jerusalem. There were those that knew that. They knew that he was the Savior. They knew that he was the Christ. But others that were there, they saw him only as a prophet. And they referred to that down in verse 11. The multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And can I tell you, there have been some prophets of the Old Testament that have come through. And maybe they just looked at Jesus as one of those prophets. They could have looked at him just like Moses, as Moses was a prophet of God, and telling the people, gave the people God's word and tried to lead them correctly. You think about Elijah. He was an Old Testament prophet, and God greatly used him. And there was an Old Testament prophet, Elijah. Elijah. Sometimes I get them confused. When I'm in heaven, I won't at that time. Amen. But they were Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah. Do you know back in the Old Testament, they used to have nicknames for those people? Did you know that? You may say, "Preacher, how do you know?" Well, because the Bible talks about Jeremiah and they call him Jeremy. Amen? So even in those days, they may have did another form. So Daniel may have been called Danny. Amen? I don't know. When we get to heaven, you can ask him if you want to. But by the time you get to heaven, you won't care. Amen? But anyway, there were some Old Testament prophets that were there. And those people just saw Jesus just like that, as a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet with a capital P, but he was the Son of God. And others, can I tell you, others that were there when they said, "Who is this?" And the reality is, they didn't want him there. Oh, can I tell you, those Pharisees and scribes, they did not want Jesus there that day. They were envious. They hated Jesus. Matter of fact, they hate him so much. The reality is they got the people to say, "Hey, let's crucify him. The one who healed their families and did all these things, these great things, the Son of God." They said, "Crucify him." They hated him. Can I tell you, when you see this true account, this story that happened almost 2,000 years ago, can I tell you it's the same today? Can I tell you, there's those that are in this church today, you see Jesus for who he really is. He is the Messiah, that he is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. You see him that way today. Can I tell you, there's maybe some that are here today, and you see Jesus as a prophet. That you may have looked at Jesus, and maybe you see Jesus as doing great things, and he did great things, but you've never seen him for who he truly is, as the Son of God. And it is possible, on the conference call that's here, it is possible that there is the third group that's here today, and you're the ones that are saying, "I don't like Jesus." Now, you may say, "Well, preacher, I don't think that." No, because you don't like who Jesus truly is. You're comfortable in your sin. And the reality is, you want to go about your way and you don't like him. Amen? Now, you may say you like Jesus, but the reality is you don't like him. Because the reality is, if you have rejected him or never accepted him, the reality is you are not a child of God. That means you're a child of the devil. Oh, could I tell you, you know what the devil's goal is for you today? Mark, that they don't listen. That's the devil's goal for you today. Matter of fact, the devil will try his best to distract you. Don't allow the devil to use you to be a distraction to someone else here today, right? So don't be a distraction. Folks, can I tell you, the devil doesn't want you to hear this message. But the reality is this, how do you see Jesus? They ask that question, "Who is this?" If I came down there today, and I won't, but if I came down to you and walked up and say, "Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you?" How would you answer? I want you to see who Jesus is today. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 1. In the book of John, chapter 1. Who is this? Look over here to the book of John, chapter 1. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, The Bible tells us, starting in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. You see, that Word is capitalized, right? Double is capitalized, and why is that? It refers to God. You may say, how do you know that? Well, it tells us here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You may say, who was that? Well, it'll explain down to verse 14. And the Word, capitalized, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, it speaks of Jesus Christ. So we go back, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who is that? It speaks to the Word, speaks of Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Can I tell you, if I would have been back in those days, hopefully if those people had asked me, who is this? That I would have told them that Jesus is God in the flesh. Folks, can I tell you, the Bible is very clear that's here. It says that the Word was God, right? Matter of fact, it's very clear. It says all things were made by Him. Everything in this world, when you think about it, was made by God. Amen? God made everything. You think about those trees. You think about God at the beginning made trees. You think about the grass. God made grass. You think about the heaven. Do you know there's such a thing as, it's called, there's three heavens. The first heaven, when you think about it, when you look out, that you'll see the sky, right? That's kind of what you see. The second heaven is where you get to where the stars are, right? That's the second heaven that's there. But the third heaven is where God is today, right? That's where He's dwelling, amen? But you think about it, God created everything. God created the stars. How many stars are there? Now, you can find some people, some mathematicians that are out there, scientists and others that will tell you, and they will say, we believe there's this many stars. You know, the reality is they have no idea. And the truth is, they'll never know. Can I tell you, there is someone who knows, and He's the Creator. He created them all. And matter of fact, He knows them all by name. You may say, how is that possible? Well, because your mind and my mind, we're not God, amen? We can't comprehend everything, amen? But you think about it, He made all the stars. That sun that comes up, praise the Lord for that sun, amen. Can I tell you, God Almighty made that. God Almighty made the moon. God Almighty made the animals. And can I tell you, God Almighty made you and me. We are made in the image of God. When you think about God, God is a Trinity. There is one God, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's the great three in one. Now, you may say that's hard to grasp. You're right. Sometimes it is hard to grasp. But you think about it, we are made in His image. That doesn't mean that we are God. No, we're not God. Made in His image. What, we see that we have a body. But who you are is your soul. And you also have a spirit that's within. It's the breath of life. When you die, your body will be buried. Your soul will go, if you trusted the Lord, will go to heaven. If you rejected Jesus Christ, can I tell you, I ran into a man one time when I was getting ready to share the gospel to him, Doris. He looked at me and said, stop! Don't tell me. And I already knew what he was going to say. Because then he told me, he says, every time I have heard that, can't remember the exact words, but it was something like this. Every time I have had someone, he says, I have stopped them. That way when I meet God, I could tell him, no one has ever told me. You know what I told him, Chris? I said, sir, you have just rejected Him in your heart that you know who God is. You have rejected Jesus Christ. He did not like that I was at his house, but I told him the truth. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, He is God. And the reality is, He made you. Amen. Everything of this world, you think about God made. Matter of fact, when God made this world, everything was good. You may say, preacher, everything's not good now. That's because of us. We ruined it because of sin. Folks, can I tell you, He is the Creator. Everything that you see, you think about it, God created everything. It's interesting. Well, people will go and say, maybe one day we'll go to Mars and figure out what it looks like. And they have some pictures of things that are Mars. And they'll say, maybe we'll get to this planet. God already knows. He created everything. Can I tell you a thing about the sea? The sea is amazing. If you ever get to the ocean, that's amazing. Amen. Especially if you go further down, some of those oceans are dirty, but you go further down, it's nice and blue. It just looks blue, or whatever. It's clear, wonderful. But you think about all those fish. God created all the fish. God created the whales, right? Do you think how big they're? I mean, you think about it. God has created everything. He's God. You know what that also means? That God is in control. There's only one God. There are not multiple gods. Yes, there's false gods, but there's only one God of heaven. Can I tell you when they were there that day, who is this? If we were back in that days, we could have told them. Can I tell you? Now, this was God in the flesh. Look, the Bible says, if you look over here, to the book of, you're in the book of John. Look down here, verse 6. In John chapter, still in chapter 1, down to verse 6. The Bible says, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know this, John the Baptist. Came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We could see him, Jesus Christ, he is the creator. He was born of a virgin, came into this world. And the reality is, we especially see it, people have rejected him. But look what he says here. He came unto his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. That's what we see, right? Hosanna in the highest, and a few days later, crucify him, right? Yes, there were those that got saved, but most that rejected him. But look at this, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Can I tell you, if we were standing there that day, we could have told him that not only is Jesus the Son of God, means deity, means God in the flesh, but we could have told him that those people, that he is my Savior. Amen? Can I tell you, there's a reason why Jesus came here today. It's because you and I are sinners. Amen? Every single one of us have sinned. There's not a single person that's on this earth that's perfect. We're all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. You just take the Ten Commandments, you look at those Ten Commandments, you know what you'll see? You're guilty, 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 guilty. Amen? We're all guilty. Amen? We're all in the same boat. Amen? We all have lied. If you say never lied, chances are you just lied again. Amen? We all have lied, right? Have you ever put anything in front of God? Have you ever missed church for something else? Well, you broke that one then. You're in trouble, right? Folks, what I'm saying is this. Have you ever put something in front of reading your Bible? Praying? You know what that means? You have put something else in front of God. You have broke the commandment. Folks, what I'm saying is, we're all guilty. If we're just being honest, we're all guilty. Amen? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Hopefully you never killed anyone. Amen? But can I tell you this? Even if you did, God can forgive you. Amen. Can I tell you, there's been people who have committed murder, as in murdering a baby, and God has forgiven them and they have eternal life. Folks, can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you have done. Jesus can forgive you. Amen? What a wonderful thought that is. Amen? But you think about it, he is their Savior. He tells us in that verse, it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's telling you how he could be your Savior. You believe on him. You don't work for it. You don't say, I got to clean up my life and be perfect. No, you'll never get there. Amen? None of us are perfect. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, you have to believe. That means you have to receive him as your Savior. You have to admit to God that you are a wicked old sinner and you deserve a devil's hell. That's what you deserve. You would have to say, Lord, I am guilty. And I'm sorry for what I've done against you. I have not only sinned against others, but most importantly, what I have done is I have sinned against you. You know, sometimes when you do something wrong, you may go up to someone. Now, Chris, I know this would be a hard illustration for you too, but if you ever done anything to Denny, this is surely not realistic, right? And, you know, you could say, I'm sorry. I know this is not a good illustration, right? So it should be the other way around, right, Chris? Right. Oh, now you're in trouble. Anyway, I got him. That was my fault. He was going with me. So the reality is, sometimes, yeah, she's going to pity me, man. preacher calls split. I'm just joking. But anyway, you'll make things right. You know, a lot of times what it is, we forget we got to make things right with Him. Yep. Amen? Yes, you make things right. See, a lot of times in our life, people make things right, but you have to think about it. You have to make things right. And the only thing to make things right with God of our sin is God said, for the wages of sin is death. That means you have to die and pay for it. And the only way to make it right is accept God's substitute as the one who died for you and paid for your sin, Jesus Christ. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, you think about it, it's a wonderful thing. He is my Savior. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, today I am on my way to heaven. I just hope I don't go today. Amen? Unless it's the rapture. But I'm saved. It's not because of what I have done. Oh, can I tell you, read through those scriptures, you know what you'll find? You'll find others who got saved and they're rejoicing. Remember the lunatic that was in chapter 5 of Mark? Here was a man that was cutting himself. He was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. They threw him in the cave. They was like, stay away from him. And he got saved. You know what he did? He wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, go home and tell your friends the wonderful things that God has done. You think about it. You are a walking miracle if you're born again. God has taken your life, saved you, and you're not the same person that you were. I mean, He is our Savior. Amen? Not only that, look what the Bible says over here to 1 John. 1 John is way over to the right. 1 John chapter 2. He is my God. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, my substitute. But look what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John is to the far right of your Bible. Look here at 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. God does want you to try to live for Him, right? None of us are perfect, but God wants you to live for Him, amen? Do your best to keep sin out of your life and just live for Him, amen? He says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What he's saying is, Jesus' blood that he shed on Calvary can forgive every single person. Every person can be saved. Unfortunately, not everyone will be saved because they won't accept Christ. But you see what he said? He says here, we have an advocate. What do you think? We could have told those people, if you were there that day, we could have told them that Jesus is my advocate. That word advocate, I got this from, there's a commentary out there from this Baptist preacher. I like it. It's called From Understanding the Bible. Advocate is used in this verse to apply to Jesus Christ. It is also a sense of one who pleads another's case before a judge. It thus can refer to the counsel of a defense or a lawyer. In modern times, we would call such a one as an attorney for the defense. The simple point is that when we sin, we have a defense attorney pleading on behalf before God the Father, Jesus Christ. Moreover, our Lord is further categorized as righteous. Praise God, we have a defense attorney in heaven who is altogether righteous. Right? I want you to think about it. Jesus Christ is my advocate. So the reality is, since I've been saved now for 23 years, praise the Lord, there's not been a single day since I've been saved in 23 plus years, Barbara, that I have regretted it. Amen? Do you know what I have regretted? I wasn't saved before the 23 years. There hasn't been a single day I woke up and said, can't believe I'm going to heaven. Can't believe I'm saved. No, there's not been a single day, right? That doesn't mean every day I wake up and I'm happy. Amen. That doesn't mean that every day I woke up on the right side of the bed. There's never been a single day in my life I said, I wish I'd never accepted Jesus. No, I am so glad. But the reality is, I can't say every single day since I've been saved, that I haven't sinned. The truth of the matter is, I do sin. Not because I try to, sometimes I do, but sometimes I just do it. Amen? And I was like, oh, wretched man. I'm like Paul in the book of Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. I know I shouldn't, but I do it, right? That's not liberty to do it. That's just saying we have a sin nature. And can I tell you, when I sin, the Bible says, even though I don't see it up in heaven, if we could open up the sky that's up there, what would happen is, as the Father is looking down, Jesus on the right hand says, Father, he's ours. The blood has been applied. He is a child of God. He's advocating for me. He is born again. Father, I have forgiven him. He's been forgiven of all sins because I paid for his sin debt long ago. Folks, can I tell you, we have an advocate. Those days where I'm starting to walk the way I shouldn't walk and I'm starting to walk away from... Do you know, preachers, it is possible for preachers to be backslidden too. Amen? Oh, could I tell you, we can get our eyes off the Lord. And the reality is, we can go through the motions and a preacher can be backslidden. And I tell you, we all can be backslidden. And here it is, let's say I start walking this way. You know what? I pray that God will chasten me quickly. I do, amen? God chasten me quickly. You may say, why do you do that? Because I don't want to keep on walking that way and be a hindrance or a problem. But anyway, and here it is, as I'm walking this way and God would chasten me, can I tell you, Jesus, my advocate and saint, but he is mine. Amen? Folks, can I tell you what a glorious thing when you think about who Jesus Christ is? Who is this? He is my God. He is my Savior. He is my advocate. Look what the Bible says in the book of John. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15. In John chapter 15. Now, we're in St. John, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Sometimes it would say St. John, but it's John. Look here in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, starting at verse 9, the Bible says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's not talking about a relationship or keeping salvation. He's talking about this fellowship, right? Growing closer to the Lord. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You can have joy that's full or not there, depending on your fellowship with the Lord, right? He goes on and says, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love than no man in this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, my friends, if you do whatsoever I commanded you. What is he saying? If you're truly born again, right, there'll be evidence. You'll be a desire that you want to serve the Lord. But he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of the Father, I have made known unto you. I want you to think about that. That day, if we were back there, and there's people to ask, who is this? Mark, I could have told him, that's my friend. Folks, can I tell you, yes, he is my God. Yes, he's my Savior. Yes, he's my advocate. But can I tell you, Jesus is also the greatest friend I have ever had in my whole entire life. I love my wife. We are coming up on 20 years this year. She's reminding me of that. Amen. If she was here doing the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 of the gold and silver and precious, I'm sure she would have thrown the hint in there, Mark. You know, I think she was throwing the hint in the other day when she went to Kate's. But, you know, I just... Oh, she's throwing some hints in there, amen. I'm just a little slow, I guess, amen. But anyway, how did I get off on that? Oh, that's because she's not here. That's why. But my wife, can I tell you, she is my friend. I love my wife. Yes, she's my wife, but she's my friend. I love my wife. I love talking to my wife, you know, and I love, you know, doing things with her. And I mean, I love my wife. Now, can I tell you, I love my Lord. And he is the greatest friend. Can I tell you, there's been times in my life where I have just got down on my knees and wept or cried. I had tears in my eyes. And I go before my friend, my Lord and my Savior. And can I tell you, God can give a peace that's in your heart. Have you ever had a time in your life where you have just poured out your heart to God Almighty? And you've been in the darkest place in your life. And you may have prayed and said, Lord, I don't see how I'm getting out of this one. Lord, I can't understand this trial. And can I tell you, that great friend of mine has just done something in my heart where I have gone down on my knees and praying, and I can get up rejoicing. He has given me the words. He's given me the comfort. Those times where I may have been persecuted or lied about, or people said things, and I have ran to my God. He is just the greatest friend, that He has come to me and comforted me. That song that we sang, what a friend I have in Jesus. Can I tell you, He is the greatest friend I have ever known. And can I, the reality is, if you know Him as your Savior, you know that He's the greatest friend. I have had friends in my life that when I was growing up, I thought they were friends. Then I realized when we got in trouble, they weren't my friends, Bob. They were nowhere to be seen. I had a time when I was with some of my friends, and we were at a football game. And as we were watching this football game as teenagers, my one friend got in and started to get in a fight with this other person. I wasn't a fighter. I would always be standing. And next thing I know, I looked around. Chris, this is as truthful could be. I looked around. My friend was gone. My other friends were gone. I was there surrounded by a bunch of people. I had no idea who they were. Good friends, right? Thank the Lord there was a security guard that saw there. If not, I was going to beat them all up. No, I was, but anyway, what I'm saying is this, I have some great, there is no friend like Jesus. Jesus has never left me. The Bible tells us that time where Paul had a desire to go to Jerusalem, and God warned him over and over and over again, don't go there. When you go there, you'll be in bondage. And Paul said, but I just want to go. And he goes there, and what happens? He started to preach a little bit to the Jewish people, and they were like, get rid of him, right? And here it was that then Paul was thrown into prison, and he was just down thinking, what did I do? And God comes to him, you'll find it reading the book of Acts, and comes to him and says this, be of good cheer, Paul. That means to be encouraged. He says, what you've done for me here, you're going to do for me in Rome. He's the one that didn't listen to God. He's the one that put himself. How many times have you been down in the dumps and your quote-unquote friend has come to you and maybe kicked you, right? Kicked you up. Be of good cheer, Paul. Can I tell you, if I was there that day, hopefully I would have told him. Can I tell you that Jesus is my friend? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of John, chapter 6. I'm winding down. My winding down is different than yours. John chapter 6. But I think I'm getting there. Look here at John chapter 6. I want you to see something. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6. In John chapter 6 and starting at verse 67. John chapter 6 and verse 67. John chapter 6 and verse 67. Jesus was preaching to the multitudes. And as he was preaching to the multitudes, he started to preach doctrine. Everything he said was the very words of God. But he started to preach a little bit of meat. And as he started to preach meat, you know what happened? Verse 66. And from that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Don't be surprised. People don't like preaching and sound preaching. Amen. They did it to the Lord. Who do I think I am? But look here in verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He asked them that question. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answered. Peter looked at him and said, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ. That means you're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the one that we've been waiting for. Those that may have told us when we were growing up about the Savior that had come. That's who you are. But did you see how he answered that question? Do you see it? What's the pronoun that he used? Was that the pronoun? Is that what you say? Or what would that be? Begins with a W. Ariana, what is it? We. We are sure. But you see what the Lord did? Because the 12 was there. So who was included in those 12? Anybody know? Judas. The Lord answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot to sign a summons, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want you to think about this for a moment. As Peter was there with the other disciples and looked around and told the Lord, he says, we are sure that thou art the Christ. And the Lord corrected him. You know why? Because John, Peter can only answer for himself. There's another, he couldn't answer for Judas. Even though he thought Judas was a believer, he wasn't. You could be here today fooling people. But you're only doing is fooling yourself. You're not fooling God. Peter was fooled. Matter of fact, all the other disciples were fooled. When Jesus told them at that Last Supper that one of you should betray me, the Bible says they looked around. No, they looked within. And every single one of them and said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Every single disciple. They didn't know that it was Judas. If so, they'd have been like, doors. It's got to be him. They looked within. Can I tell you? He had an appearance, but he was the deceiver. He was the biggest counterfeit. But can I tell you? He was the biggest fool. For 3 years he heard the preaching and teaching. He saw the miracles. And he still rejected him. When Peter said, we are sure, the Lord said, no. One of you. So let's go back to that original question. They asked the question, who is this? And I could stand up here and testify. I could tell you who Jesus is because I know it without a doubt. But I can't answer it for you. You have to answer that. In Mark chapter 16, the Lord said something to Peter another place. And he asked, he says, what does the multitude say that I am? Some said this prophet and some said others. And he looked at him and says, but whom do you say I am? It's a question every single one of us have to answer. You have to answer it. Bob, I can't answer it for you. I can't answer it for you, Joe, right? I mean, I can answer it, but I can't answer it for you. It's what you believe. Who is Jesus to you? And that answer that you give will depend on, if you accepted him as your Savior or not. It's your choice. But I could testify and tell you who he is. How about you today? Who is this? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message would work on our hearts. Lord, I didn't preach that because I believe I'm surrounded by people that are lost. But I preached that because that is your very words. It's the message you laid on my heart to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd use this message as only you can. Lord, maybe there's someone here today or more that has never accepted you as their Savior. Lord, I pray today would be the day that they would come forward and make it known, and I could show them or have someone show them from the Bible what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's some here, it's just like back in those days, they knew who you were, and maybe they just want to come and thank you. And maybe others that are here that never saw you for truly who you are. Lord, I give you the invitation, pray thy will be done. We ask it in Jesus' precious name.